You are Locked On the NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, hello. It is Sunday evening. All the games except for one have concluded. We still have AFC South matchup Sunday night to decide the final spot in the AFC. My Steelers were just eliminated. My household is sad. My neighborhood is sad. And the Steelers were a very good indication of how fine of a line this league can be. You know, I mean, a couple bounces here and there throughout the season, missed field goals, bad calls, poor clock management can really cost you. And we absolutely saw that. But, you know, you've reached the Locked On NFL podcast. I didn't even tell you that yet. We're the number one local sports daily podcast network in the entire world. And a huge reason for that are some of the awesome Locked On hosts we have. And tonight we're going to talk Locked On Bears, Locked On Browns, Locked On Eagles. So we are leading off with my man, Lauren Cox, with the Bears. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
I've been better, I got to say, with my Steeler affiliation. But you were on the other side of that today. I mean, Steelers and Vikes fans are bummed. They're on the outside looking in. Both had uneven seasons. But your Monsters of the Midway were the big bad wolf that kicked them out.
Yeah, and they're really kind of coming together in that old-time Chicago Bears look. Like, this was the game Jordan Howard breaks out for another 100-yard performance. The defense, obviously, one of the best in the NFL. It really looked like good old-fashioned Chicago Bears defense, and it almost feels a little bit like 2006 with everything kind of going around the quarterback so well.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And it's funny, like, going into this game, I read a lot of places, hey, who knows how the Bears are going to handle it. And on my show on Friday, I thought, man, I think the Bears clearly want to win. I mean, even if the Rams get out to a huge lead, I still think it's pedal to the metal. Show this division that you're the team to beat. Eliminate everybody else. You know, it's been a rough quite a few years in Chicago. And just show the world that this is who you want. And obviously, you guys handled the Vikings without much problems. But going into today, I thought I would rather play the Eagles than the Vikes if I were the Bears, too.
Yeah, I think going into today, that was kind of the feeling, especially with Nick Foles under center, although even now he's got a rib injury. I'm sure you'll get more on that with Locked On Eagles later on. But, you know, as the game went on, I think you had Bears fans more and more wanting, okay, yeah, would they be fine playing this Vikings team again in another week? I mean, the Bears were able to pretty well dominate in the trenches on both sides of the ball and really kind of do what they wanted. Even once they started to put some backups in the fourth quarter, most of the backup defense was out there, and Kirk Cousins and company still couldn't really get much going, couldn't get much push on the offensive line in the running game or in pass protection. And it just kind of felt like an extremely one-sided game, and one that I'm sure Bears fans would really like to do again.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be, it would be kind of fun to, hey, come on back here next week. Well, let's see how that goes for you. That probably would sound pretty tasty right now, especially a division rival. I mean, one thing I mentioned on Friday too was, yeah, I think it's pretty clear that with the offensive coordinator change in Minnesota, they want to run the ball. That complements a great defense well. That's all terrific, but that O-line is a problem in Minnesota, and it's a real problem when they line up against, you know, the Bears front.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to blame any one party there, and I know Kirk Cousins is getting, you've just been getting railed the last couple weeks for, you know, obviously the big contract and disappointing based on kind of expectations, but, you know, he still plays an efficient game. He does, you know, they took care of the ball. They didn't really give the Bears any turnovers, but when he's getting hit after every other throw and the pressure's forcing him to get rid of the ball quickly, he had to rely on a lot of dump-offs and try and let receivers make plays after the catch, which is pretty much exactly what the Bears defense wants you to do. So when you can't run the ball, you don't have enough time to throw downfield. It kind of feels like Kirk Cousins is doing just about everything he can, and that's just not enough.
No, well said. I mean, I'm sure he'll take way too much heat. And I'm seeing it all over Twitter now. Ah, look what you bought for all those millions of dollars. But, I mean, if no one's blocking for you, best of luck. You mentioned that they won in the trenches. And I think Howard is not the flashiest back around, but he's very efficient. He's a certain type of runner. And I think that the coaching staff understands that really well. But tell me what you think of the Bears' offensive line. That group seems to be overlooked, and I like them.
Yeah, they're a group that's gotten better as the year went on, especially in the running game. You know, early on, I thought that was the biggest issue for Jordan Howard. There was a lot of doubts about, you know, his role in this offense, and he really wasn't producing early in the season. And I felt like the offensive line in the running game was the biggest problem with all that. Just, you know, he's a guy that's really good at setting up his blocks and making the most out of every run, but there just wasn't a lot of space for him early in the year. But I think they've really evolved in that direction as the year's gone on. I think Harry Heaston is finally kind of, you know, as the year went on, being able to hammer that message home and have guys really get a little bit more comfortable. I know Matt Nagy has done some different things schematically than Howard was used to. He was always more that inside zone runner. They've been mixing early in the season, they mixed in a lot more power and counter and different gap scheme runs. But it feels like as of late, they've gone back to a little bit more zone to get him a little bit more comfortable, and this offensive line to be more comfortable, because they were the zone blocking offensive line in years past as well. So I just think you're seeing, you know, not only the offensive line get more comfortable, Howard get more comfortable, but even Matt Nagy get more comfortable as a play caller. And I think you're finally kind of seeing everything come together here right as the postseason is around the corner.
Do you think Trubisky's more comfortable?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. You're seeing growth in key areas, and it's not all put together yet, but obviously high completion percentage in recent games. And what he's gotten a lot better at is recognizing and attacking the blitz early on in the season. You know, like the Cardinals, Seahawks, and even the Packers in week one, they'd put a bunch of guys at the line of scrimmage, and Trubisky would panic. He'd throw up ducks. He'd throw it in the dirt, and the accuracy completely tailed off. But as the year's gone on, he's more confident, and he isn't scared by, you know, anything at that pre-snap looks, and able to kind of diagnose it quickly and at least find the dump off, at least find the hot route more consistently than he could before. There's still times when he's trying to do a little bit too much, or maybe he gets a little bit too excited on a play and doesn't step into it properly and, you know, misses throws he still needs to make. But the growth has definitely been there. It's just a matter of, okay, how far can he actually take them in the playoffs? He can get them to the playoffs. Can he carry them to the big game? That's the real question right now.
Sure. And he's still very, very young and hasn't started all that many football games in his life, to be honest with you. So let's look forward a little bit. First off, was there any injuries of note? And it looks like, I mean, do you think Eddie Jackson's back for next week?
Yeah, so the Bears actually, they've been one of the most healthy teams in the NFL this season, but against the Vikings, they started racking up. So Allen Robinson sat out with a rib injury, Eddie Jackson had an ankle injury as well, and then during the game, Taylor Gabriel, their top receiver with Robinson out, he left, and I can't remember for the life of me what his injury was. Then then Anthony Miller, their rookie, their number three receiver, his shoulder looked to pop out of its socket again. It's something he's dealt with kind of throughout the season, and they've popped it back in multiple times in the same game before, but they just took him out and held him out in this one. So he was able to kind of get some time off. Leonard Floyd left the game as well, and I think it was a lower body injury, but whether it was knee or ankle, I don't remember for sure. So all of a sudden in Week 17, those kind of minor injuries popped up, and the Bears weren't going to push him back out there, so they left everyone out. And now there's some perhaps uneasiness about that moving forward, but generally speaking, I think they're feeling okay at this point and looking ahead to staying pretty healthy still starting the playoffs.
Yeah, comparatively speaking, I mean the whole league is banged up. It's you know, almost the new year, and that's just the way things go. Let's wrap it up with just give me, I don't know how much thought you've given to it, and I don't even know who the Eagles quarterback's going to be. We'll find out more on that probably in the next couple minutes here, hopefully. But what's your initial thoughts with Philadelphia coming to town next week?
You know, it feels similar to kind of what happened with the Vikings today, that, you know, whether it's Nick Foles or Nate Sudfeld, they first and foremost have to take care of the football. I mean, if, you know, that's what Kirk Cousins was able to do pretty effectively in this game, and they still needed more, but it would have been much, much worse if there had been a turnover or two mixed in with that, you know, lack of downfield throwing ability. So it starts with taking care of the ball. If the Eagles can use their offensive line that's much more talented than the Vikings and maybe get a little bit of running game going to at least keep this defense a little bit more honest and stay out of those situations where you're down by three scores and have to pass, and that allows Khalil Mack to pin his ears back and Leonard Floyd too. You know, those are kind of the big things, is, you know, taking care of the ball and at least giving the Bears a couple different things to prepare for. And then lastly, the Bears have been phenomenal in the red zone in both offensively and defensively. So if the Eagles can kind of avoid settling for field goals and actually convert some touchdowns there, I think they'd have a real shot in this game. But I'm not necessarily confident that Nick Foles and Nate Sudfeld are the guys to necessarily get that done.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I really like the Bears' chances here. And I even think they could create some big plays against those corners. I think they'll be able to block them up pretty well. I haven't given a lot of thought yet myself, but we will throughout the rest of the week, of course, here on the Locked On NFL podcast. Lauren, where else can people find you besides Locked On Bears?
So you can follow me on Twitter at Cox Sports One. I always say it's like Fox Sports One, but with a C. Mm-hmm. And I write for NBC Sports Chicago as well as the Bears Wire on the USA Today Network.
Awesome. Thanks so much, man. We will be back in a moment to talk Browns. And I'm going to steer that one towards the Ravens a little bit more than the Browns. He doesn't know that yet, but that's coming up here in a moment. All right, as promised, we got maybe our favorite Sunday night guest. I mean, I'm not just kissing your butt, but my man Jeff Lloyd has been great this year talking Brownies. And I mentioned to start the show, my son's upstairs distraught. I got to say, deep down in my bones, I'm a little distraught. But his Brownies couldn't quite pull out a win to help out my hometown Steelers. But still, highly impressive.
The most impressive thing today, Matt, was we kind of talked about this, you know, going into this game. The thing for the Browns was it's getting to the point where it's okay where teams can kind of control the ball. You saw it with Carolina, and this is where Baker started going more and more vertical. So I wasn't too concerned today with Baltimore's offense from the fact that they were probably going to control the time of possession because, you know, Baker's shown the ability. But Baker's also shown now to get chunk plays, and this is what he was able to do today. Look, I mean, it's a tough loss because you had the opportunity in hand on that last drive there, that last four-play sequence. Maybe something over the middle, get yourself a 2nd and 7, 3rd and 5, and get yourself in a more manageable position. Obviously, you weren't going to ask young Joseph to attempt a 57-yard field goal.
No.
But look, 8-7-1, 7-8-1, you know, at the end of the day, there is a difference in the record. But I don't think it's going to change anything. The losing theory of the Cleveland Browns, the fact that that list of quarterbacks that goes from, you know, my house to the end of the, you know, down the driveway to the main road, it's over.
It's done.
You've got your quarterback. You've got star players all around him. And with, like, if it's a house, now you're grabbing a couple of throw pillows and you're just picking out, you know, a nice couple of, you know, paintings for the walls. This team is here and nothing's going to change and they're not going away anytime soon.
Right. And we're certainly going to talk Browns, but I kind of duped you into this because I wanted to talk Ravens a little bit more with you too, because you and I are going to get together this offseason plenty, I have a feeling. But I'm going to keep it with the Brownies here for a minute. You mentioned Baker. He's absolutely a stud, and he sets the rookie TD record and didn't even play the entire year. Are Perryman and Callaway guys now? I mean, I like what I'm seeing from these guys, and clearly they're talented.
The thing with Callaway is when you look at it when John Dorsey selected him, obviously, you know, a little bit of issues off the field. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, Antonio Callaway was a high school running back. Tyreek Hill, when he was drafted, was a running back. That's, you know, that was his MO in college. But Callaway, you know, it's the small feet. It's the quick feet of the running back. And you saw, you know, 3 or 4 catches on the sideline where he was able to toe tap in. He's a little bit bigger up top than a normal, you know, guy who's 5'11" as a wide receiver.
Sure.
The touchdown reception, was able to get it, get the ball over the line, get out of there, get away from taking the hit. Perryman, now this was one I called for all week. And the only thing that disappointed me, Matt, was I wanted him to toss that ball into the third section of the because this was it's a culmination. Right. And it go back to where you failed and be able to do something. And as impressive as the touchdown was, the reception, you know, late in the game that they had to overrule, where, you know, normally with Breshad Perryman, the question is, did he catch the ball? This was a question of whether or not his feet were in bounds. He caught the ball the entire way throughout. It's just great to see. And we had Kevin Zeitler, the Browns right guard, on a couple of nights ago on the show. And talking about guys like Greg Robinson and talking about Breshad Perryman, nobody wants to be the first round bust. So now when you've already moved on and you're on your second or third team like Greg, or in your second team like Perryman, what are you going to do where you can take this now to a 6, 7, 8 year career in this league? You shut up and you work your butt off. And that's what Perryman's done here. And, you know, like everybody, oh, well, Freddie Kitchens, you know, should he stay, should he go? Why are you going to leave the Golden Goose? You've got Baker Mayfield. Breshad Perryman, same thing. You know, maybe there's better opportunities out there, however this plays out. But he's got a quarterback who's got faith in him, and he's got a rhythm with. And this is just what happens when you build something good.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And you kind of touched on it. And I say this a lot over my media career, that I'm a big fan of the GM move of high pedigree dudes that you like coming out of the draft that didn't succeed early on, that you can get on the cheap. I'll take all those guys I can get on my team. And if they don't hit, so what? But, I mean, a lot of them come to career crossroads, and they choose to step up. One sequence of events that's going to be hard for me to get out of my mind, and I'm sure you as well, is that whole goal line situation.
Oh.
Lamar goes over the top, doesn't get it, ball comes out. It should be a 99-yard return for touchdown. And then making matters worse, I mean, I'm not exactly sure how they gave it to you guys on the four or whatever. And then Landry gets hit in the helmet on what he should still be running. Like, those two plays were mind-boggling. And the game would have been very different.
Well, I mean, I think we've gotten to the point where we can not complain about the officiating. Because week in, week out. Well, you know what it is. But week in, week out, we see these just... we almost come to the point where we expect it and expect bad officiating. But why? Why do you just let the play play out?
Right.
If we have review and every possible touchdown play is going to be reviewed anyway, let the play play out. If he crossed the goal line, everything else is mute, and Jabril Peppers looks like a moron for running 99 yards for no reason. But let that be the case, because we've shown to this point that we cannot put our faith in these officials to get these calls right enough, where there's no reason to just let it play out.
Right. I mean, there's no harm in not blowing the whistle. I mean, you're right. Complaining about the officiating is crazy. And I'm going to go back to the Steelers. A lot of people watch Steelers Saints, and it was a poorly officiated game. But I told everyone, I'm like, so what? That happens every game. But the Hayden pass interference on Kamara in the end zone, if I was a Saints fan, I'd be mad, because it makes the product of the game worse. And this was one of those type of calls. Like, it wasn't hard to not blow the whistle. You know you weren't positive. You're hurting the game as a whole.
Exactly. And don't just reward a guy because you think it was close enough, or reward a guy because he's having a good day. And even here's the other thing. Who's Lamar Jackson isn't Cam Newton. He's not one of these guys. He's not Tom Brady. One of these guys where, you know, like LeBron James, where he gets the call. You know, Lamar Jackson's a rookie quarterback. What was his 6th, 7th start? He doesn't deserve that. So just let the play play out. It probably would have changed the complexion of this game big time. Yeah. And a lot, obviously, you know, because maybe, you know, it would definitely would have shifted the momentum in Cleveland's way. You know, obviously Pittsburgh did what they needed to do. But it's just, sometimes they just try so hard to think they're getting it right that they don't think about the long term of it. And it's a goal line play where it's going to be reviewed anyway. So just let that happen.
No, you're 100% right. And you brought up the Ravens. You brought up Lamar. They're going to be hosting the Chargers next week in the wild card round. I expect a very good game. They whipped up on the Chargers 2 weeks ago. So they're probably excited to see this matchup. Those guards for L.A. were just getting destroyed. Rivers was getting destroyed. I thought your Browns were the better team today. But there's no denying that this running game for the Ravens is very legit. What do you think about their playoff chances?
Well, the thing here, though, is this, you know, now Baltimore's going to run this same exact script. And
they only have one.
Exactly. This is the only script they got, and now they just face this team. You know, now look, you know, Phillip Rivers, the ultimate competitor, you know, he saw all he needed to see. And what are they going to see? Hey, maybe we need to go deep a little bit more. It worked for Baltimore. I mean, it worked for Cleveland when they went deeper a little bit more. Let's not worry about so much about the underneath stuff. They should get Melvin Gordon back, which should help them at least get some sort of a consistent running game. But now, what's Baltimore? What is Baltimore and Lamar Jackson? What are they going to put in this week that's going to be enough to wow the socks off of what has been a really, really good Charger defense? If I'm the Chargers, I'm putting Derwin James 5 yards off the line of scrimmage. And saying, you know what, Lamar, it's me and you all day, kid.
Yep. Oh, I know.
You know what? We'll go 10 on 10 everywhere else, but you're going to have to beat me.
Yeah, that's well said. And I'm not bashing on the Ravens, and I'm just a little bit bitter that they won, but I'll be honest.
But my only thing, though, is where is this in the best interest of the development of Lamar Jackson? He's taking an obscene amount of hits he shouldn't take.
The punishment.
You see
bad.
Him slide down, and there's times where his head's getting snapped back, and it's all legal. But, I mean, where is this putting him long-term as your quarterback? Because you're not seeing anything right now where you're going to say, oh, well, you know, he'll be a guy who can go 25 or 35 for 275 to 3.25. No, I mean, it reminds me of, you know, the Dolphins back in the day with Ronnie Brown and all that, you know, what they tried to do with that. It's like, well, this is great, but how long is it really going to work for? It's not, because teams will eventually adapt. They'll change. They'll start playing more DBs. Or things of that nature. I mean, look, if this is what they want to do to get to the playoffs, that's fantastic. But there's no staying power to what they're doing.
No, but I do give credit to Harbaugh for doing it. And I mean, they were the pass-happiest team in the league under Flacco. Now they're the run-happiest team in the league. And they're very hard to play against, and it complements their defense and Tucker and their special teams well. But you're right. The next step has to happen, and it has to start this offseason. And I think that's, you know, somewhere in the postseason that run's going to end, because they really are a one-trick pony. I mean, it's a fun trick. It's a new trick. I've been saying all week it's like playing Army or Navy or Georgia Tech, because no one else on your schedule plays this way. But it's not a long-term way to play the game.
No, it's not. And, you know, I mean, if I think about a rookie quarterback, I want to have him set for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years. And I just don't see it. And there's still talks about whether or not Harbaugh is going to be back. It's, look, I mean, if this is what you needed to maybe keep Jim, you know, John, Jim.
Whatever.
John Intel. But it's just, I don't know. I mean, look, they're going to get to where they ultimately want to be. I mean, I'd be stunned, though, if they could beat the Chargers next week. I'd be absolutely floored.
I hear what you're saying. Although we did just see it, and it might be their year. I don't know. But their defense didn't look quite as good to me either. But we got to roll. Jeff, let's make a promise to talk a lot this offseason. Again, the Browns, I think, are still the most interesting team in the league, although they're not in it. We got coaching things to discuss. We got team needs. We got all that good stuff. And I hope, and I do appreciate you giving me some Ravens insight too, because they're certainly an interesting team as well. Where else can people find?
I think it's the future of the AFC North. I think this is it.
Yeah, I do too. I very much do. Where can everyone find you? And then we're going to get to Locked On Eagles to wrap up tonight's show.
Look, I mean, obviously, you know, Locked On Browns, the way this team has grown, it's kind of become, you know, the one stop for me. You know, with the amount of shows we're putting out and the amount of content, you know, people are extremely interested. It's, you know, it started with, you know, obviously Hard Knocks, the 4 games in the preseason under the national light, and it's just continued to pick up. And a guy like Baker Mayfield doesn't disappoint, nor does a Miles Garrett. The Locked On Browns Twitter account, follow us over there. Jeff_LJ_Lloyd, follow me over there. It's been a hell of a ride, and for covering this team for well over a year now, it's so much different, Matt, right now, this point in December, than it was last year.
Oh, clearly. All right, folks, like I said, we're going to be back here in just one moment and talk Eagles. We talked a little bit at the beginning of the show with the Bears, but a lot to discuss with the Birdies, so we'll be back in a moment. All right, we are back with Gino Camilleri from Locked On Eagles. And I said to him right before I hit record here that times are a little better in his side of the state of PA than mine. But congratulations to your Birdies, Super Bowl champs, still in it. You guys got to be excited. You're in the dance.
It's a great feeling. Yeah, you want to be defending Super Bowl champions at least. We didn't let that hangover get us too bad, but we squeaked it out on the last day. My nerves were a lot higher than I wanted them to be coming into this game, but now they're relieved. It's a good feeling, and it just, you need a chip in a chair, as I always like to say. You just need to be in the dance to have a chance, so I'm feeling good right about now.
And this team should be confident, and they just won the Super Bowl. They know what it takes. That's something the Bears don't have. We'll get to some initial thoughts on that matchup, and we did talk a little bit about it at the beginning of the show with the Locked On Bears, but what's your thoughts on this quarterback situation now, though?
I think you got to ride the hot hand with Foles. Schefter reported that it was only a bruised ribs, if I'm
mistaken. Oh, okay.
I
missed that. I was recording. Okay, good.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so it looks like he should be good to go. They'll probably put a flak jacket on him, I'm assuming. That would be a standard precaution. But, yeah, I think the way he played today, he comes out and has 25 straight completions. He's the hot hand right now. Last year at this time, fans were calling for Nate Sudfeld to have a chance to play in the Atlanta game. It's things have come a long way for Nick Foles, and I feel a lot more confident this year than I did last year, because the last couple games of the season on Christmas, he played against Oakland. He didn't have too great of a performance. The first couple series against Dallas, he struggled. They didn't get any points as well. So people, until that second half of the Atlanta game, were really questioning Nick Foles. But to have the performances he had the last 3 weeks, I am over the moon with Nick Foles. You can't even risk putting Carson Wentz in there with his injury.
No.
And Foles is the hot hand, so you have to ride it. You can't take him out. And Doug Peterson, he knows his locker room. He knows how these guys are responding to the current situation. So you have to let it ride with what they have right now.
Yeah, it's funny because as you were chatting, an alert came up on my phone and said Nick Foles fell four snaps short of getting a incentive bonus. Like
I saw that. For $1 million, too.
Is it $1 million? Wow. I mean,
I'm sure they'll give it to him after the performance he had today. I mean,
good point.
He tied an NFL record for straight completions consistently in a game. So, and he brought him to the playoffs. So give the guy his money. Might as well.
Yeah, he won the Super Bowl for him last year, too.
Exactly.
If people don't remember. I have mixed feelings about the guy. And even after the Super Bowl last year, I was still doubting, and I was one of the people saying, dude, trade him while you can. If you can get a nice pick for him, send him out the door, you can dump that contract. But they wouldn't be where they are without him. And I do think that his teammates absolutely respond to him. I think he's tough. I think he is respected. He's an NFL starting quarterback somewhere. And I'm more of a believer now than I was a year ago, that's for sure, or even after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I said to Lou on our post-game show before I got on with you that the Eagles might have three of the top 45 quarterbacks in football. I mean, Nate Sudfeld came in and threw one pass and had a touchdown on it today. So they're developing guys in a great fashion. They have a lot of competition and brotherhood in that quarterback room, which outside of the organization, there's a lot of noise saying there's a quarterback controversy and everything, but those guys love each other, and you see how well they respond to each other. Nick and Carson are best friends, and you could see that and the things they say about each other, and they both support each other. And Carson played his part this season, too. They had to go in down the stretch, win a game against the Giants and the Redskins on Monday night, and he wins those two games. And then Nick, who is the greatest closer quarterback in the NFL right now, comes in and wins those games down the stretch, and this team is just responding well to one another. Doug Peterson has his pulse on what's going on with this team. And the way their defense came out, I think that's something that's going to be looked over after this performance today by Nick. But you got to watch out for them. They're getting hot at the right time, and this team is starting to click on all cylinders.
No, you're 100% right. Super quick, you're not one of these believers that trade Wentz and sign Foles long term.
No.
Right? Good.
No, I'm currently sitting here with a Carson Wentz North Dakota State jersey that my girlfriend got me for Christmas. So
like.
I'm 100% all in on Carson Wentz. He is the guy. People forget about how great he looked. His numbers last year were unbelievable. He should have won the MVP if he didn't get injured. He still looked great and still put up unbelievable numbers and had a better statistical season than he did in 2017 with a broken back and recovering from an ACL and LCL tear. So he's the guy. Nick Foles did his job, and he definitely does deserve to start. With a poor class of quarterbacks coming out in the draft this year, if he's not starting on a roster next season, I think it's an absolute joke. He deserves
it,
especially if he has a good game against Chicago and can make another deep playoff run.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's making more money as we speak, so don't feel too bad about his bonus.
No,
he didn't get. I think he'll survive.
Yep,
you mentioned the defense. What's your take on them right now? I mean, obviously, when this team's working their best, it's the front four that's dominant. Fletcher Cox is the guy that stirs the drink. And the cornerback position's been a disaster this year, but it's not killing them right now.
Yeah, the last couple weeks, the corners have came up huge. Avante Maddox arguably could be the best cornerback in a rookie season that this team has seen since the days of Lito Shepard and Sheldon Brown. He's been that good, and he's played three different positions. He's played nickel corner, he's played outside corner, and he's played safety, and he's adapted well to all of those positions. And that could be one of the best fourth round picks that Howie Roseman has made. And this unit has just come together with all the adversity that they've faced. And guys like Rasul Douglas, he picks the first ball of the game off today. It was unbelievable. And Malcolm Jenkins is one of the most underrated safeties still in the league to this day. So they're responding great. But the front four, whew, man, they looked like a unit possessed today. Guys like Fletcher Cox, who's having an unbelievable season with limited help around him like he didn't have last year. He had a lot of help depth-wise last season. Timmy Jernigan was healthy all year, who looked incredible today. Brandon Graham looked great today. Chris Long looked great. And Michael Bennett, how the Seahawks let him go for a fifth-round pick.
That's insane. Yeah.
It's insane because he still produces both at the defensive end and defensive tackle position, and his numbers were incredible this year. Him and Fletcher Cox were second and third in quarterback pressures coming into this game. So they're getting hot at the right time. And when you're in January and you're working in towards the Super Bowl, the defensive line and the trenches is where you're going to win. And they're looking great in that department. And their offensive line is coming around too. And Lane Johnson had one of the best games against J.J. Watt I think I've ever seen last week. He held him to zero sacks. So all the parts of this team you want to perform well going down the stretch are performing well. So I feel very good at where we sit currently.
Yeah, and that includes coaching. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Oh, 100%.
No doubt. And let's wrap the show. I got Lauren's quick thoughts on the game. I don't know if how much thought you've given on it. I don't need predictions. I don't need in-depth talk. But what are a couple key points the Eagles need to go into Chicago and, you know, get the upset? They're going to be a dog, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, they're going to keep that underdog mentality they've had all year. But I think, real quick, three things. The defensive line of Chicago, we know how good Philadelphia's is. They're going to be just as good with Khalil Mack. You're going to have to work that ball out quick. The run game is going to – it's going to be tough to establish a run game, so trying to get that going is going to be paramount as well. So to see the game plan of how Doug is going to – if he trusts Nick to throw it 40-plus times next week, which he might have to against that defensive line if they can't get a run game going, who knows? But I think if they start to wreak havoc on Nick, it could get bad. But I'm confident that they can expose them. They've exposed the good defensive line in the Rams and Houston last week. So you can't count them out there. On the offensive side of the ball, it's like I said, on the opposite side, can you get a run game going and can you get the quick passing game going? It would be great to see Golden Tate have a breakout game for once. So I'm hoping they could implement him. Maybe Mike Wallace steps onto the field for the first time since week two.
And they could use that outside speed.
They could definitely use it, and I think that would open up things a lot for a Chicago team that really likes to shrink the field in their favor. They like to bring guys down, and they can because they get pressure consistently so they can play closer to the line of scrimmage and don't have to worry about guys getting over the top. But if you can bring a Mike Wallace-type element into this team with fresh legs, that could be an X factor that many people are looking over. And the third thing I think is playoff experience. This Eagles team,
very good point.
They beat some of the best teams last year. I mean, Atlanta, that was no pushover of a game. Minnesota, they were playing as hot as the Eagles were last year. Then you go in and Tom Brady throws for 500 yards and you still found a way to pull it off. So young Mitch Trubisky, who he can get a little shaky after his first read, it could be not in their favor if the Eagles can get pressure to him and they can't get their quick passing game going. So I think the experience is going to come in great. I think Doug Peterson knows what it takes to win these type of games. I think Jim Schwartz is calling great defensive calls, which he wasn't earlier on in the season. I keep getting back to the point. I feel super confident, and I really do. And I think Chicago, maybe they dug their own grave winning this game against the Vikings. I don't know, because what I saw from Minnesota, I probably would have liked to play them next week and not Philadelphia.
That's what Lauren was saying at the beginning of the show. Like, boy, I wish they were coming to town next week.
Yeah, exactly. But in football, you have to beat the best of the best to the win. So we're going to see if the Chicago team could pull it off. But right now, this Eagles team is, if you're going to do a power rankings, they got to be in your top five after the last 3 weeks.
You know, it's a great point. And really good information. Let's make a point to get together this offseason once or twice to do some joint stuff. Maybe we'll bring you back next week. Who knows, depending how that game goes. Where can everyone find you besides Locked On Eagles, which they have to tune into all week for sure?
Yeah, so you can catch us Locked On Eagles, of course. On Twitter, you could catch the Twitter account. It's at Locked On Birds. Don't go to the at Locked On Eagles. That one is locked out. We can't get into that one. It is actually locked out. Not just locked on.
Not locked on. Not, yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. All kinds of lock jokes there. Yeah.
But you could catch my co-host, Lou DiBiase, at DiBiase, L-O-E. And then you could catch myself at Gino_LOE on Twitter. And you could, like you said, you could catch us on the Locked On Podcast Network, of course.
Very good stuff. Folks, another kind of strange week because of New Year's. So, as usual, I won't be with you tomorrow. But Tuesday, Sage is off. He said him and his family are going to the Rose Bowl. So he's traveling. He's out. And it's also New Year's Day. So I guess sometime in the next 2 days, I'm going to come back with something for you guys, probably surrounding Black Monday. Unfortunately, maybe you know by now when you're listening, but there are going to be some major coaching changes around the league. So I'll probably respond to that in our next podcast, but I'm not exactly sure when I'll get it to you. But that is a wrap. Thanks so much, everyone. Please spread the word. Go to iTunes. Leave us all great reviews and all that wonderful stuff. Over and out.